This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, Psalms chapter number 3. We're going through our stress busters. We're breaking down some spiritual barriers, and tonight we're going to do a stress buster for our foes. For our foes, for our enemies. What does the Bible have to say concerning our enemies? Well, David had a lot of enemies. Out of all the people in the Bible in the Old Testament, David certainly had many, many enemies. And he writes about this in Psalms chapter number 3. Now, Psalms 3 is probably one of my favorite psalms. We actually sing this psalm as a choir. And it's a wonderful psalm, a unique psalm in many, many ways, and we'll explain that here in a few moments. But David is crying out here in this psalm. His heart is broken. His head is cast down. He is doubting God's provision. He's doubting God's promises. He is so discouraged in Psalms chapter number 3 because of a huge family problem that has entered into his life. And we'll explain that here in a moment. You'll notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help. There is no victory. There is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down to sleep, and he awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Listen, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Somebody say amen. Salvation is not found in the church. Salvation is not found in a series of meetings. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And he ends it again with the word Selah. I'm going to ask you to be seated as we study Psalms 3 together. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us to eliminate distress when it comes to our enemies that comes up against us. Now, that enemy may take different shapes and forms, but all of us tonight, if you're a child of God, you need to know that when you said yes to God, you said yes to a spiritual battle, and we will have enemies that we have to contend with. Unfortunately, sometimes those enemies are in the form of family. Sometimes they're in the form of our friends. Sometimes they're even in the form of those who by faith call upon the Lord within the church. You and I need to know what to do to eliminate the stress in our life when we have somebody that's going to come up against us. So let's bow our heads. Let's call upon the Lord and ask God to help us tonight. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to have victory over our enemies. Lord, we know tonight that as a child of God, we have entered into a spiritual realm where there are supernatural things, Lord, that come up against us to try to discourage us and to keep us, Lord, downing and in despair. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to eliminate the stress, Lord, of the enemies that come against us by looking to the Word of God and finding favor with your grace in our lives each and every day. Bless us by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, this psalm is a very unique psalm because for the very first time in your Bible, here in the book of Psalms, rather, for the very first time, you will find the word psalm is there, and it is written in chapter number 3. It appears for the very first time. The Hebrew word is mizmor. And basically, a mizmor was a poem that was sung to a musical accompaniment. And so all the psalms are basically songs. that the psalmist has written and the musicians are playing to, and they took this as their redback hymnal, if you will, all right? This was the Hebrew hymnal that they took into the temple and they began singing. And for the very first time out of all the psalms, you find in the superscription of the text, you find that this is a psalm, and the Bible says specifically it is a psalm of David. It is a psalm of David when David is brokenhearted and he's crying out to God. As a matter of fact, this is the first of 73 psalms known as a psalm of David. And the superscription tells us exactly why David wrote this psalm. The Bible says a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is a terrible time in the life of David. David is having a family problem that is turning into a national civil war. His heart is broken because his son has rebelled against him. His son is coming up against him. And David is so discouraged and deflated and defeated that he writes his psalm. And he's saying that everyone's making fun of me. My foes have come up against me. The sweet psalmist of Israel who battled Goliath, who calmed the spirit of Saul, the great psalmist of Israel is discouraged and defeated. And people are saying, look at you now, David. You have no help from God. Look at you now, David, all defeated and deflated. Look at you now, David, having no delight in God. And they are mocking God and mocking David, and David is living in discouragement. Now, much of this discouragement is the result of David's sin. You'll notice in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, verses 10 to verse number 12, we have the record in the Word of God that David's family is falling apart and his kingdom is falling apart because of David's sin. What was David's sin? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 10 and 12. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Why? Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou did it in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David had sinned against God. You know the story of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Although God forgave David and David repented of his sin, there would be the consequence of David's sin that would long last all the way to the time of David's death. And God told him that because of your sin, the sword, that is judgment and trouble, shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, I will raise up evil against thee. And what you have in Psalms chapter number 3 is those words actually coming about. God is raising up trouble in the house of David. God is allowing this to take place to keep David humble, to remind David of who God is and what forgiveness is like, that David cannot trust in his own material possessions. He can't trust in his own army, his military, and his might and his means, but David has to trust on the Lord. And honey, I got news for you tonight. You can't trust in your own means. You can't trust in your money. You can't trust in your might. When an enemy comes against us, we've got to trust in the Lord. Somebody say amen. And this is where David is at. Note verse number 5. It indicates that this is a crying psalm in verse number 5. The Bible says, I laid me down and slept, and I waked, and the Lord sustained me. He said in verse number 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. This is a psalm where David is weeping in tears. He is upset. You say, preacher, why is he upset? There was a messenger that came to David and gave David some terrible news. As a matter of fact, we find that terrible news in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, verses 13 and verse number 14. The messenger comes running into David, and he tells him these words. And there came a messenger of David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel, they are after Absalom. Absalom has won the hearts of the people, David. Their heart has been turned away from you through Absalom's lies, through his rebellion, and through his deceit. They have turned their heart away from God's king. The Bible says, and David said unto all of his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. For we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. This is his son that we're talking about. Now you think about this. There is no other greater problems than family problems. If you agree, say amen. Terrible problems. This is David's son. This is somebody that he loves. You say, well, why is Absalom so angry at David? Absalom is disappointed with his father's administration. He is still angry at David over the rape of his sister Tamar by his brother Amnon, whom Absalom actually murdered, by the way. He's so angry over what happened. He is upset over what happened. And he is mad at his father for not administrating and taking care of business. And so in order for David to not become a prisoner of war over Absalom's anger, David's forced to leave Jerusalem with a band of his faithful followers, and he prepares for a civil war. He prepares to take the sword against his son. And when David begins to contemplate all that's going to happen next, we find that David begins weeping and begins crying. Now here's what I want you to see tonight. Here is a principle that you need to take home. What you find in the psalm, that this is a psalm one of weeping because of David's foes. Weeping because of David's foes. He is weeping over Absalom. Without a doubt, Absalom's close personal friends have joined with Absalom, whom David probably watched grow up through the years, and they ran through the palace walls playing with one another. David is upset, and he is weeping because he knows what's going to happen as a result of a civil war. And what you find in this psalm is the weeping because of David's foes, but also, here's the kicker, you find the worshiping because of God's favor. And here's going to be the main thrust of the point of the sermon tonight. When you've got foes that come up against you, that break your heart, and they cause you to cry and to weep, whether it is family, whether it is friends, or even people who by faith call upon the Lord right here inside this church. When you have people that rise up against you, you may weep, but I want you to know those tears need to wipe away your fears, and your weeping needs to turn to worshiping because of God's favor on your life. You have got to believe that God's going to deliver. You've got to believe and trust in God that this trial is going to become a blessing, that this burden is going to be a blessing, that this trouble that I'm going through, I will triumph as long as I'm grabbing a hold of the hand of God, because I know God has his hand on us. And so David, we find in the psalm, is weeping because of his foes, but he is worshiping because of favor, and that is God's favor. God's going to turn everything around for David, and David's going to regain his courage, he's going to regain his confidence, and he's going to regain his composure. There are some of you tonight, you're going through a spiritual attack. Maybe you've got an enemy out there on the job, family, friend, or maybe it's just the devil himself that's come up against you, and you have found yourself in recent days just weeping and crying. What you need tonight is to take your tears to help drive away your fears, and take your weeping and turn it into worshiping. And when you do, your courage will come back. You will find your confidence is back, and your composure will be back because you're worshiping the Lord. Here's what I want you to see tonight. The psalm consists of bad news and good news. We're going to look at the bad news first, and then we're going to drive on over and look at the good news. If you're taking notes, this is point number one. You have foes who will be against you. You mark it down. You will have foes that will come up against you and be against you. You need to know tonight that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you put God first place in your life, then the world is a battlefield for you. It's not a playground, it is a battlefield. If you've signed up and said yes to Jesus, you know that you have enlisted as a soldier in the army of God, and you're gonna have foes that come up against you. How many know this is true tonight? That the Christian, you don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble will always find you. If you believe that, say amen. You don't have to go looking for it. I can guarantee you this, it's gonna come and it's going to find you. Many of you have no idea that this even happened, but while we were on our Dominican Republic trip, we had an individual that went with us that was not a member of this church, and he went with us as a chaperone for the ball team, and while we were there, he got drunk as a skunk. I mean, he is totally intoxicated. And so I go out there and I begin talking to him, and I said, sir, you need to know that we do not allow drinking on this missions trip. We don't allow that. All these people out here, they know Score International, they know Giovanni Valdez, and we are here to represent them, so I'm gonna ask you to refrain from drinking the alcohol. He said, in a very angry tone, by the way, he said, who are you? And there was a long chain of words that I don't need to say. He said, who are you, long chain of words, to tell me what I need to do? I paid for this, long chain of words, this trip, and so I'm gonna stay here and do what I want. I said, sir, I'm gonna make this real simple for you. Now the Yankees coming out of me, all right? I said, I'm gonna make this real simple for you. If you don't stop drinking, we're gonna put you on a plane and send you back to Atlanta. I'm not gonna allow you to drink in front of our team. Well, he got very upset, another long chain of words, and he wants to fight me now. And he is climbing out of the pool. This guy's about 6'3", and he's a pretty big guy. He's a whole lot younger than I am. But I'm a certified ninja, you know. So anyhow, I had somebody from Score International with us. I said, listen, I said, you go on and you walk to the door and go get security. I said, if he tackles me, hits me, pushes me down, maybe I'll be able to hold myself for a little while. You go get security. And so while he's climbing out of the pool, he slipped and fell. I think God just went boink. It's like that, you know. Boom, booyah boy, you know. Let me show you who's in control. Bam, he hits the ground, you know, right out there on the pool. And so we walk to the door, and all of our team, if you were there, you guys know, everybody is in the hallway. And I start telling everybody, get to the bus, go to the bus, everybody out. Everyone knew something was going on. Well, here he come, and he's drunk, and he's mad, and he's angry, and he gets in my face. And then Caleb Jones comes down there, and I watch Caleb's face wrinkle up like a bulldog. You know, he got real upset. Over this guy cussing his pastor out and causing all this stuff. And so finally, I thought the guy was going to go to jail. And by the way, if you ever go with me, you don't want to spend a night in a Dominican jail. That's all I'm going to say. You don't want to be there. But I thought they were going to throw him in jail. I had no idea. So he finally calmed down. He walked away. We all went to church. That night we walked back, and I seen him sitting in the foyer there, and I walked over to him, and I said, listen, I know you're upset. I know you're mad. I don't want you to be upset and angry. I want you to have a good time with us, and we want you to be here and your boys to be here. I said, we're going to work this out, and we'll find some type of comfortable compromise so we all can have a good time this week. And he said, get your hand out of my face. I said, well, sir, don't be that way. He said, get your hand out of my face. Well, my wife began talking to him and trying to calm him down a little bit, and he looked at her and said, ma'am, if I'm going to hell, you're going to hell too, and you'll be sitting right next to me. Now, you just need to know this. You know, let's unzip the preacher, you know, garment for a second and just stand there as a man. Any man in here, you know what you want to do next, right? Huh? Are you mopping up what I'm spilling right now? You know what you want to do next. And I just felt like that the devil is trying to anger me. He's trying to get me upset. And by the grace of God, after he said that, I said, Melissa, come on, we got to go. And I turned around and walked away because I needed to walk away. And for the rest of the week, it was very awkward, but I watched our team pray for him. I wish I can tell you tonight that he got saved, but I will say that his son got saved while we were there. And that agitated him so much because his own son got saved. You say, Brother David, why are you telling the story? I'm telling the story to tell you because of this. If you're a child of God and you're saved by the grace of God, you don't have to go looking for trouble. I guarantee you, if you're going to live for Jesus and you're going to try to do what's right, trouble is going to come knocking at your door in some of the most obscure moments. We're there on a missions trip. We're trying to win people to Christ. We're praying for the country of the Dominican Republic. And smack dab in the middle of our team, we have an incident where we have a confrontation. And the devil was trying to use that all week to discourage everybody. But glory to God, his son got saved. Caleb Jones's son got saved. And to God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. And I didn't go to jail. We clap again, right? I didn't get in a fight, did I, Jerry? Kept my composure and prayed. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If you're going to be a Christian, trouble is going to find you. Psalms 119, 157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Many are my persecutors. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We have at least three enemies waiting for us every day when we wake up. You have three enemies waiting at your door. When you open up your eyes and you open your bedroom door, probably before you get your foot right out of the bed, you're going to find that there are three enemies that are standing there waiting for you to arise. You have an enemy around you, you have an enemy within you, and you have an enemy beneath you. The Bible calls these enemies the world, the flesh, and the devil. You need to know that the world is your external foe, and the flesh is your internal foe, and the devil is your infernal foe. Every day of your life, you're going to have to face one of these enemies. And 24/7, from here to heaven, they are trying to discourage you and defeat you and cause you to lose your testimony for the cause of Christ. Hey, you've got to be the wiser. Somebody say amen. You've got to rely on the power of Almighty God. The devil comes by and whispers, hey, if it feels good, just go ahead and do it. Even though the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The world comes by and says, you're just a product of evolutionary chance. Your life doesn't count for nothing. Your life is meaningless. Although the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the way, he created you too. Somebody say amen. The flesh comes by and says, hey, just eat and drink and be merry. Even though the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. The devil is a liar, and he is a murderer, and he is a deceiver, and he will do all that he can to mix you into trouble, to keep you discouraged from doing what God has called you to do. Listen to what these enemies were saying about David, verse number 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him and God. There is no help. These people are mocking David. They are mocking God. They are laughing at David's faith. Because the word help there literally is the Hebrew word for victory. He is saying there is no victory for him. There is no help. There is no refuge. There is no shelter for David. David, where is your God now? You know, I look at this and I think, man, this sounds so familiar, does it not? When we go through life and we have our enemies that begin to mock us, we have the world that mocks us, we have our flesh that even mocks us, and of course the devil is mocking us, saying there is no help for you. You trusted in God, but where's your victory now? You used to sing about the greatness of God, but where's the greatness of your God now? You talk about living a victorious life. Where's the victorious life now, David? Your family's a wreck. Your kingdom is divided, and you're living in a cave. I want to give you a sermon statement tonight. I want to plant a thought in your head, all right? And I hope that you will remember this. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Listen, the world cannot see our God, but they can see our faith. And they will measure the size of our God by the size of our faith. Write it down. Burn it in your heart. The world cannot see God. but they can see the evidence of my faith. They see me living for God in times of trouble. They see me singing in times of tribulation. They see me shouting in times of despair. They see me calling upon God in prayer. The world may not be able to see God, but they can see my faith, and they will measure the size of our God by the size of your faith. And for some of you, you are portraying that God is a small, insignificant God because your faith is so small. Your faith is not where it needs to be. Give me somebody that has enormous faith. Give me somebody that has faith that trusts God in the times of the storm. The faith of a grain of a mustard seed. God said you can move mountains if you just have a little faith. Somebody say amen. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says this, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Exploits mean they will put their faith into action. They will actually move in a missional manner for God. You know, we know as believers tonight that there may be many gods in the world that people worship, but we know that there's only one God. Some would say amen. And we need to declare it just like Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 2. There is none holy as the Lord, amen. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is one God, there's only one God, and that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us, who died for us, and he's coming back for us. Somebody say amen. We celebrate him tonight. So, first of all, you need to know you have a foe who's going to come up against you. That foe is around us, he is within us, and he is certainly beneath us. The world, the flesh, and the devil will rise up against you because you have decided to do something for God. You say, well, Brother David, what do I do? Well, I'm glad that she asked. That was the bad news. Let me give you some good news. We may have a father, or we may have a foe that's against us, but we certainly have a father who is always with us. We have a father that is always with us. Look at verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. David made the same error that many Christians often make. In verse 1 and verse 2, he's so down and out, he's so discouraged because he is focusing on his foes. He is focusing on his fears, but he has forgotten the Father. And there are some of you tonight that you're focusing on your foes, you're focusing on your fears, and you have forgotten the Father who lives in heaven. You need to know, friend, the reason why we go through troubles and trials, it's to get our focus on God. David got his focus off God. He's looking at his foes, he's looking at his fears, but he needs to look at the Father. Why? Because worry can turn to worship when believers start trusting in the Lord. Your worry can turn to worship when you start trusting in the Lord. Notice what David said, God, you became a shield for me in verse number 3. You are a shield for me. God, you are my protector. God, you're helping me along the way. Did you know tonight that the Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Did you know that every day in your life, God's protection and God's love is surrounding you through the medium of angels? Did you know every day that we have an angelic host that is watching out over us? During those times of spiritual warfare, when the devil's trying to come up against us, we have a mechanism that's going to help us. God sends us his mighty, majestic angels, and they help us. They encamp around about us. You think about this. Wherever you go, the angel of the Lord casts his tent, and he's right there beside you. When the Hebrew children were in the fire, the Son of God was right there with them. When the disciples were in the boat, and there was a storm across the sea, Jesus came walking right with them. When Paul and Silas was in prison, in the midnight hour, they began to sing praises unto God. God's heavenly host and the presence of God was there. He said he'd never leave you and he would never forsake you. Quit focusing on your fears. Quit focusing on your foes, and begin focusing on the Father which is in heaven. The Bible says in verse number 3 that David said, "But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me." He said, "My glory and the lifter up of my head." Let me ask you a question tonight. What do you do when you get discouraged? What's the first thing that happens when you don't feel like talking to people? You're discouraged. What happens? You take your head and you bow it down. Do you not? You can't look your family in the eyes. Can't look your friends in the eyes. Are you coming here defeated and discouraged? While we're singing, you're sitting there looking at the ground. You can't look up because you are so discouraged. This is where David is at. David is so discouraged and he's so defeated that his head is hanging down. Trouble is weighing David down. His shoulders are drooping down. His spirit is sagging. His head is hanging down. And in the midst of all of that, God came by. Hallelujah. I have had it happen to me so many times when discouragement comes my way and I'm feeling defeated and I'm feeling deflated. Hey, somebody help me. I'm preaching right now. When I'm feeling defeated and I'm feeling deflated and I feel like I can't go on anymore, that's when God comes by and God shows up and God says, "I'm the lifter up of your head." Somebody say amen. God helps us along the way of the roads of life. He encourages you and I. You know what? You can't focus on God and keep your head down. You may go to the Lord in prayer and you're praying, but before long, you're going to find out when you're wrapped up in the Holy Ghost of God and God's Spirit is coming by, you're going to find out that your head is lifted up, your hands are lifted up, you are in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the tribulation period, and he was talking to them about the terrible things and the conditions that will result from that day. Listen to what he said to them in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. He said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." When the devil tries to defeat you and your foes are coming up against you, hey, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. The Bible tells us that we have a Father that is always with us. You know, when David had focused on his foes, he had forgotten the Father. But when he focused on his Father, he forgot about his foes. And tonight, you're sitting here and you are focusing on your foes. And as a result, you're forgetting about the Father. Why don't you just focus on the Father in prayer, in study of the Word of God, so that God can help you to forget about your foes? Well, we have foes that will be against us. That's the bad news. The good news is we have a Father that is always with us. And even greater news than that, we have a future. We have a future with our Father that's going to encourage us along the way. Look at verse number 6. David said, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that has set themselves round about. Arise, O Lord," and the Bible says, "save me." David, for the first time in a very long time, he's got his courage coming back to him. He is focusing on God. He's focusing on the things of God. And even though his heart is broken, his courage is coming back. And verse 16 is like David saying, "Bring it on. Bring it on. It doesn't matter what the devil brings against me. It doesn't matter what my family, my foes, my friends bring against me." Verse number 6, David is saying, "Bring it on. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." It sounds like a man who has a lot of courage. David not only is getting his courage back, but notice also in verse number 8, he's getting his confidence back. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "Salvation belongs unto the Lord." There you go, David. That's where you need to be. You need to be thinking about God, that the only way that you're going to be delivered, the only way you're going to find comfort, you need to realize that salvation, that rescue, it belongs to God. It's not the preacher's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not the church's job. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And when David starts thinking about the favor of God and the grace of God, guess what happens? His confidence is coming back. His courage is coming back. And tonight, that's what you need. You need your courage and your confidence in God back. How do I do that, preacher? You begin focusing on God's salvation. Notice this now. There's a sequence to it. Verse number 6, his courage is coming back. Verse number 8, the Bible says, salvation belongs to the Lord. His confidence is coming back. But this is for all my word nerds that are out there. The word salvation in verse number 8 is the exact same word in the Hebrew in verse number 2 that's rendered the word help. Help. The word help in Hebrew there is meaning victory. All these words coincide with one another. Salvation, help, and victory. Here's what's happening to David. His courage is back. His confidence is back. And now that he knows that he has help in God, his contentment has returned. He knows he has help in God. Verse 8, thy blessing is on thy people. Amen. His contentment is back. David has found rest in the mighty hands of God. He finally understands it, that in the middle of the darkest trial, God is always there to pick you up and be the lifter of your head. How long are you going to stay living in defeat? How much longer are you going to be deflated and defeated in your spirit? Your spirit cast down with no spontaneity, no song in your heart, no verse on your lips, no clapping of the hands, no rejoicing when you come into the house of God. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on your fears. You're focusing on your foes when you need to focus on the Father. And the Bible says when you do, you cry unto God. God will be the lifter up of your head. If you need that tonight, I'm going to challenge you tonight to call upon God in prayer and ask God to help you through this terrible time that you're going through. If you believe God's word, say amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.